Blog Talk Radio.
I am one with God and you, without me life is so vain. A simple letter for your soul, you become part of myself. And I will be for your own, peace, love and togetherness.
Yes, forevermore we'll be praising the Most High, because when you praise the Most High, there's no time to die. Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed soul. Welcome to class number 333 of Soul Class. Today's program is entitled A King's Hardened Heart. And we're broadcasting now live from Turtle Island, known as the USA, uniting souls actually. Our program will focus on concepts rooted in examining the psyche of an ancient African wise king known as Paro or Pharaoh, and if his only option was to refuse the nation of Israel to leave Egypt, the land he ruled. Meanwhile, blessed souls, may the Ein Sof, Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, blessed be, bless you and your loved ones. And speaking of Hashgacha Pratis, Divine Providence, because today is class number 333, blessed souls, I'd like to point out that the numerical value of 333 corresponds out to three Hebrew letters, Shin, Lamed, Gimel, which means shelig, snow. And for many people listening here on Turtle Island, United States of America, they are covered in snow, at least in the outside. Hopefully their bodies are not covered in snow, but their surrounding environments, and may everyone be kept coasty warm. But the blessing that comes from shelig, as I was told by an upstate farmer, Mr. David Peck, who is the owner of the Marks Farm up in upstate New York, in Lowellville, New York, 20 miles south of Watertown, New York, and about 36 miles south of Ontario, Canada, once told me, snow is a blessing, for snow basically serves as a blanket. So the earth, which is below surface level of the earth, is kept at a certain temperature, which makes it more appropriate for the seeding of the coming year's produce. So therefore, even though we are inconvenienced now, first of all, we're blessed when the snow melts, blessed souls, to fill our reservoirs with the mayim in a shemayim, water from heaven. Number two, it insulates the earth. So with all the inconveniences, and again, we hope and pray no one's been hurt by the storm, and they're being kept nice and warm by the thought that they have a divine image which will help them get them scrimmage. And we just listened to Reb Isaac Patone's Light in the Darkness from his Songs for a Brother album, which was from the 1970s, early 1980s. But I also want to gladfully report to you the tidings of the fact that we have on certain shows made dedications to the Refuah Shlema of Yoshua Dov Ben Shlamas, and he has gone from critical condition. In fact, his doctor told me that within the first couple of days he didn't think he was going to make it. And now we see that Yoshua Dov Ben Shlamas, although he will be going through a lengthy recuperative process, is on his way up and up and up. We also want to dedicate today's show and give thanks to the Most High for getting sponsorship for the following blessings to be offered humbly from the depths of our heart to be emanated out from the lips of our meditation. For Yifua Shlemer, complete healing for Yosef Ben Luna Louisa. For Hayelet Atinoch Atzadik, Akiva Nissan Ben Odelia. Also for Maras, Rus Bas Ahuva. And now let's go right into the show. Blessed souls. Blessed Souls, greetings and blessings. 20 days ago, Israelite Jewish congregations read on Shabbos Kodesh, the Holy Sabbath, Parshas Bo, which you can learn more about by reading or learning from Sefer Shmot, or Shmos, the book of Exodus, Movement of All Conscious People, chapter 10, verse 1, and concluded by the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 16. Within this Torah portion's first verse, the Creator, Hashem, the name associated with mercy and source of all means of bringing the world from divine nothingness into a corporeal something, Yesh Ma'ayin, instructed Moshe, the mighty Levite prophet, to record for eternity, mentioning how Creator's blessed wisdom and will led to the hardening of an ancient wise African Egyptian ruler's heart, namely Pharaoh, and also the hardening of his nation servants, those who worked for the greater good of the ancient civilization of Egypt. A question may arise, blessed souls. If the Creator hardened Pharaoh's heart, how could Pharaoh have softened up his heart? Let's say, in another case scenario, let's say when Moses had approached him to let my people go, and he becomes sensitive to this plea, to understand this was related to divine instruction, Hara, Mea Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then if he would have allowed Israel to leave Egypt, if he could have taken on the role of instructing his people based in interaction with the leader of Israel, how to educate his nation of Egypt, which was a great nation, to live according to divine instruction, and thereby learn and fulfill their divine mission in the most positive sense via their fulfillment of the seven Noahide commandments, Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. The answer awaits us, blessed souls, as now we're going to turn to an elucidation by a giant, a Nesher HaGadol, the great eagle, Rambam's elucidation on this matter, which we are to find in his Shmona Prakim, which translates to 8 chapters, in the 5th chapter, which reads as follows, and we'll be plucking inspirations from pages 51 to 55, and you can actually read this English interpretation, translation, by a wonderful book that is translated by Moznaim, M-O-Z-N-A-I-M, Publishing Corporation, based in New York and Jerusalem. And the translation was done by a rabbi, a Rav Eliel Tauger. So here we go. Blessed souls, what does the Creator desire of us? He desires that we stand upright. He has blessed and anointed us with a broad chest, the cavity of the human being, and that our hands have fingers as well. How much more so, Creator desires that we move and rest at will, and we perform all of our daily activities by choice without anything compelling us or preventing us. This is implied in the statement, as Rambam calls it, the Book of Truth, the Torah, plucking from Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, quote, "Thus man has become unique, knowing good and evil." The Targum is part of the oral Torah tradition, Tor Shabbat Peh, translating that verse into Aramaic, emphasized that by, quote, knowing good and evil, end of quote, man becomes, quote, unique, end of quote. For there's no other species in this world that has this capacity to know of good and evil. The ability to know oneself what is good and what is bad, and to choose either voluntarily, without hindrance. Because a human being has this potential, there was an apprehension, quote, lest he extend his hand, pick from this, referring to the tree of life, partake of it, and live forever. And you can go back to Genesis chapter 3 to learn more about that. This, in fact, Rambam asserts, is one of the fundamental aspects of human existence, that one willfully performs good or evil according to one's desires. Therefore, it's necessary to integrate within the development of a human being access to a good path to make accessible to a person the structure afforded him, each and every human being, him or her, with precepts, commands, and prohibitions to reward him or her and to correct him or her, and this correction be a just correction. Similarly, it becomes necessary for a human being to train him or herself to perform positive activities until he or she merit or zoche to acquire internal virtue and to shun at all opportunities undesirable deeds until he or she removes these failings that he or she previously possessed. A person should not find themselves in a mode of consciousness, Rambam continued, to say that these shortcomings are already ingrained within his or her character and cannot be removed. For in every situation, I want to repeat that, blessed souls, for in every situation, man or woman, woman or man, has the choice of changing from good to bad and from bad to good. The choice is in your hands, whether you're a man or a woman. So whether you're a woman or a man, the choice is in your hands to choose good. And this is the basis of our assertions, Rambam continued, with regard to the fulfillment of the will of the Creator, or in fact, to engage in rebelling, heaven forbid, against Creator and what he desires for creation. There is one more point that has to be explained in this context, that certain verses within the Torah, the Bible, the Scripture, appear to indicate that the Creator has decreed that human beings would rebel and thus Creator forced man or woman to do so. Rambam asserts this is an absolutely false perception of the verses from the Torah. And to clarify this, we will explain these passages, for they have been the subject of much discussions by others. For example, there was a promise made to Avram Avinu, the patriarch, the Hebrew Israelite patriarch Abraham, were made known to him in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, quote, and they shall enslave them, meaning your descendants, Abraham's descendants, and oppress them, end of quote. Thus it appears that it was decreed for the Egyptians to oppress Abraham's descendants, Zerah Avraham. So if so, why would the Egyptians have been punished if it was decreed they would be oppressive to the descendants of Abraham? After all, they were compelled to oppress them as decreed. The answer to this question is that this prophecy revealed to Abraham can be compared to God saying, according to Rambam's reasoning process, which we want to assert, is a healthy one to internalize within our human consciousness, configured so intimately, blessed souls, with the divine image, quote, it's just Rambam saying, we could compare this to as if God saying, quote, in the future there will be those who pay heed to his precepts and commandments and those who do not. Therefore, in the future, the Almighty Creator, with his infinite insight, way beyond human insight, perceived within divine wisdom and will and desire that there would be righteous people and wicked people. Now, that is a true statement. There would be in the future righteous and wicked people. However, when it comes down to the microcosmic level of human family experience, for each and every one of us, blessed souls, it doesn't obligate any one person who is wicked that they had to be, or that someone who is righteous had to be righteous. Instead, whoever acts wrongly, wickedly, is actually doing it according to his or her own volition. Had he or she desired to be righteous, it would have been possible. There would be nothing preventing him or her, nothing preventing anyone on those blessed souls of being perfectly righteous. Similarly, every righteous person could have been wicked, but he or she chose not to be hindered by those who would drag them down into the pit of iniquity. The statement is not applied with regard to each individual so that a person could rationalize and say that his or her fate was decreed. Instead, the statement is very general in nature. It's like a pre-potential state. Yes, there will be wicked. Yes, there will be righteous. But no one has to fill the role of the wicked. No one has to deny their ability to become righteous. Therefore, whoever would have oppressed Abraham's descendants, it didn't have to be X amount of Egyptians. In fact, because it was, so to speak, a negative decree against the beloved ones of Abraham, his descendants, there could have been an act of tshuva where what would have been pressing them in a Torah Savora sense and a reasoning out within the realm of Torah, there could have been that the Israelites were merely being subdued and oppressed by their own evil, and they would be conquering their own evil instead of having for the Creator to have conquered the external evil in those days, which was manifested in the oppressive policies and the actions of the Egyptian people led by their oppressive ruler, Paro. So therefore, every person, blessed souls, according to Rambam's reasoning process, which is a Torah reasoning process, has the ability to act voluntarily according to his own character. Similarly, had any one of the Egyptians who wronged and oppressed the nation of Israel decided not to wrong them, those Egyptians would not have had been, they would not have been forced to do otherwise, meaning if they wanted to be righteous, they would have been righteous. For the decree was not made on any particular Egyptian person to do wrong against Israel. The explanation can resolve the difficulty in the verse, which is mentioned in chapter 31, verse 16 in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moshe is told by the Most High, quote, "When you sleep with your fathers, then this nation will rise and stray after the foreign gods of the land," end of quote. And Rambam continues to say, there is no difference between this prophecy and the statement that all who worship false gods will be destined to be treated in such and such a manner. For if there was never a person who transgressed, all these warnings would have no purpose. As well, all the curses would have had no purpose, as would all the corrections or punishments from the divine Torah. For the fact that there exists a law requiring stoning in the Torah does not justify the statement that a person who desecrates the Sabbath, the Shabbos, if he or she is an Israelite, was compelled to desecrate it. No, they made their own free will choice to desecrate the Shabbat. Heaven forbid, may we all keep the Shabbat according to the traditions written in oral Torah. Nor does the fact that the Torah includes curses against those who worship false gods justify the statement that a person who went on to worship such gods was compelled to. No. Rather, whoever committed these transgressions committed them willingly, and they brought the punishment upon themselves, as was brought out in the prophecy in the book of Isaiah. Sefer Yeshayahu, Navi Agula, the prophet of redemption, in chapter 66, verse 3, and we're plucking from verses 3 and 4, quote, "They have chosen their ways, etc., and I will choose torments for them," end of quote. So we may raise a problem may be raised based on the verse, as we alluded to at the beginning of the show. We said, in chapter 10, verse 1, where the Most High told Moshe, Moses, "I will harden Paro's heart," end of quote. Afterwards, as a result of Paro's hard-heartedness, the Creator punished him and destroyed basically everything that was of his very sovereignty. Although he remained the king, there wasn't much to be ruler over after Egypt was destroyed via the 10 plagues, which was a catastrophe for them at the splitting of the Red Sea. And you can go to the Parshas Bashalach, which starts off in chapter 13, verse 17, in the books of Exodus, Sefer Shmos, chapter 13, verse 17. So this, the Rambam brings out now, this is a proper place to discuss this concept and now elucidate a fundamental principle. And in the utmost humility, Rambam went on to say, therefore he requests of the reader or the hearer of his words, which are more than 800 years old, on this subject, to please pay attention to them and afterwards compare them to other interpretations that have been offered and select what you think is the best blessed. So what is your Bechira Chafish? What is your freedom of choice to decide how this matter can be best understood? So the concept can be explained as follows. If the only sin committed by Paro and his servants, his nation, which was a very powerful nation, had been that they did not release the Israelite people, the matter would have indeed have been difficult. For the Creator mentioned later on, going back to the beginning of this week of the Torah portion of Bo, chapter 10, verse 1, I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. So how can the Creator expect, if Paro is asked to release them, when he's compelled not to release them, then to punish them, to punish him and his servants for not releasing them and destroying him and his servants would seem to be very unfair, and this would negate all that we had explained previously. The Rambam mentions, bless those. However, this was not the case. Paro and his servants rebelled against God willingly, without anyone forcing them or compelling them. They oppressed the strangers in their own land, who were the Hebrew Israelites of those days, and treated them unjustly, as the Torah explicitly states in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 of the book of Exodus, where Paro is, quote, is saying, and he, quote, and he said to his people, behold, the children of Israel, let us act cleverly with them, end of quote. I didn't quote read everything from verse 9 and 10, bless those, but go see for yourselves what's explicitly written there openly in the written scripture. And this act of acting cleverly against the nation of Israel was the result of their own wicked thoughts. Nothing was compelling them to do so. They chose to think evil against Israel. But we have to remember, too, blessed souls, that since Paro and his servants were at a much higher level of consciousness, they were the most advanced civilization of their time, and they were confronted by the mighty prophet Moses, there were consequences. If Paro and his servants had been a lowly nation and not educated, we would understand that it would make sense. Even if they refused, there would more mercy would be placed upon them, just as the city of Nineveh, which the Almighty Creator told the prophet Jonah, they know nothing of their left and right in terms of how to conduct themselves properly for whatever reasons manifest in that manner. For that city of Nineveh in ancient Israel, when the prophet Jonah was sent to rebuke them, then three days, if they didn't clean up their act, they would be destroyed. And Jonah was actually in pain that they had repented. And Paro says, do not I have mercy upon 100,000 people and sheep and cattle and everything that's in the city of Nineveh? No, Paro and his servants were of a much higher level of consciousness and being confronted by, in our tradition, the greatest prophet of the nation of Israel for all times. Even the mighty Messiah Tzidkenu, the Lion of Judah, will be a great prophet, but not even at the level of prophecy or divine insight from the perspective, the Bechina of prophecy, as Moses. So they were a very educated civilization. They were a powerful civilization, and they were confronted by direct prophetic instruction by the Creator through Moses to let them go, and they refused. But the antecedent was that because they had their own wicked thoughts to oppress them and to act cleverly with the nation of Israel. So the Almighty punished them for this and prevented them from repenting, so he would punish them as his justice dictates. The fact that they were prevented from repenting was expressed in their failure to release the nation of Israel. The Almighty Creator had already explained this to Paro, informing them that he had merely desired to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt, besides that he could have destroyed him and his servants, and the nation of Israel could have left. Paro, however, desired that while taking out Israelites out of Egypt, he would punish Paro and his servants for their previous wickedness, as he mentioned initially while telling Abraham of the enslavement in the Exodus, as it was written in chapter 15, verse 14 in the book of Genesis, quote, and I will also judge the nation whom they will serve. So again, they fit the slate of that prophecy revealed to Abraham, but it wasn't because they had to. It was because they made the conscious, wicked decision to act cleverly and oppress the nation of Israel, blessed souls. Since it would have been impossible to punish them if they repented, the Almighty prevented them from repenting, and thus they detained the Israelites further. But again, what really had prevented them from repenting, blessed souls, was the nature of the wicked of their intent to oppress the nation of Israel. And also, I encourage you to see in the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, quote, would I now stretch forth my hand, I would smite you and your people. But for this purpose, I have maintained you to show my power through you, referring to the nation of Egypt and also Paro, the mighty Egyptian ancient king. This concept that the Almighty will punish a person by preventing him or her from repenting and withholding the option of tshuva, repentance, is not a foreign one, blessed souls, for Creator knows the severity of the sins and his wisdom and justice, which determine the nature of the punishment to be received. There are those whom he exacts correction merely in this world. There are those he exacts correction from in the world to come, Olam Abba. And there are others whose iniquity reaches the point where they require correction in both this world and the future world. Similarly, this type of punishment in this world varies. Some are did in their physical person, their health, others through their finances, some through both these means. For example, as a punishment, the Creator may nullify the possibility for a person to function in certain ways in which he or she would have chosen to function previously. The Creator might prevent a person's hand from functioning, as he did with Jeroboam, which you can learn more about by going to the Book of Kings 1, the first Book of Kings, chapter 13, verse 4, or his eyes from seeing, as he did to the inhabitants of Sodom, who are congregating against Lot. To learn more about that, go to the Book of Genesis 19, verse 11. Similarly, the Creator may prevent the desire for repentance from arising so that person will perish in their sins. But again, not because they had to sin, blessed souls, not that because they had to be wicked, but because there was some antecedent in their thought, speech, and action which connected them to that bitter consequence. There is no necessity that we fathom Creator's wisdom and comprehend why he chose to correct a particular person in this fashion and not in another. This is a secret that can't be known, just as we can't know the reason that causes a particular species to be given this form and not another form. The general principle is, however, that all his ways are just, and this is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, in the prophetic teaching by Moses, chapter 32, verse 4. The Creator will correct a wrongdoer according to the nature of his or her wrongdoing, and reward those who act kindly according to the nature of their kindness. So if you ask, why did Creator demand from Paro to release the Hebrew Israelites, the children of Israel, time after time, although he was preventing from doing this? Moreover, the plagues were brought against him while he was so adamant, so stubborn in his refusal, for as we mentioned above, he was punished because he remained so adamant in refusal. So why would Creator needlessly demand from him something that he could not perform? But herein lies a deeper perspective, blessed souls, as Rambam asserts. This is an expression of the Creator's wisdom, Chachma Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show Paro that Creator has the potential to negate his free choice, even though we were given free choice. Therefore, he told him, as Rambam says, quote, I demand that you release them. If you release them, you will be saved, but I know that you will not release them until you perish. Paro indeed desired to consent at times, so that it would appear that he was reversing the words of the prophet who said that he was prevented from agreeing, and yet he could not. So again, here we see another insidious aspect to the character of Paro, that he wanted to prove that the prophecies would not come true. Yet, in the end, he could not go against the fact that his heart was hardened, because it was his own lack of righteousness which intensified the hardening of his own heart, which was facilitated obviously from above, from the Creator. This was a great miracle, which brought knowledge of the Creator renown among all human beings, as is written in chapter 9, verse 16 in the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 16, quote, but for this I have maintained you, so that my name will be proclaimed throughout the earth, end of quote. Thus it was made known that the Creator may punish a person by withholding free choice from him or her. Thus a person will know of this possibility and will not be able to continue leading his life in a wrong way and rely on the option of repentance. But again, blessed souls, if the intensity of the wicked intent, the intensity of the wicked speech or action is such, they're connecting to a divine grid which will hold back their free choice from returning. So we can understand from Rambam's teaching, blessed souls, what Creator clearly declares for our blessed ears and hearts and minds and souls, and always declare that, quote, for I have hardened his heart, preceding Creator's statement was the essential factors, namely Paro's free choice, Bechira Chafshis, to choose evil. At that point, when he still had Bechira Chafshis, free choice, he chose evil and served as a living example of what evil should do. Rahman al-Atslan, heaven have mercy upon us, in relation to the goodness, to the righteousness in the human form of Moshe, Moses, relating to him, as we can understand with our modern language. Moshe basically, in another way, was trying to tell Paro, in the name of the Most High, quote, take a chill pill and set the captives free, end of quote. With that being said, we now pluck inspirations from the teachings of Rav Hillel of Parich, a tzaddik, a chosid, a rav, a great knower of Kabbalah, who over 190 years ago taught about nighttime consciousness, or to clarify, how does Panimis HaTorah, the inner dimensions of Torah, regard a dimension of time in relation to space, namely nighttime? Rav Hillel taught the measurement of what constitutes night relates to the divine conduit, Sphira of Malchut, the source of all kingship flowing from Olam Datzilut, the world of intellect, the divine world of intellect. Malchut Datzilut Makor Shelzman, that the divine conduit of kingship is the source of all time. Zman, as we know, FYI for your information. This divine realm of Malchut Atzilut was addressed, or more precisely, prophetically chanted out by King David in his Psalms 145, verse 13. Your kingship is the kingship of all worlds, and your rulership is found/extended into each and every generation. So while so-called modern thinking 21st century minds, may continually promote this as the age of information, we of Israel humbly remind all human beings, I am most confident many, many children of Noah would agree, we are living in the existential present, synergistically bound up and subdued to the age of the Ein Sof kingship and rulership. And no generation can deny Creator's absolute kingship and rulership, which serves as the source of the enlivening and bringing into existence all possible human perception of worlds, and how much more so many myriads upon myriads of worlds beyond human being perception, which we can physically see at this stage of our human family consciousness experience, how all worlds are created out of divine nothingness, morphing into a tangible something, his havus, ma'ayin liyesh. And this divine nothingness, this Ayin Eloki, is merely a or in Ziv, a light and a shimmering, a ray, revealed from the Atzmus Elokus, the essence of godliness, of divinity, which according to divine wisdom contracts and even undergoes concealment for human being physical perception. So a general divine shimmering creates and enlivens all the worlds. The empowerment of human perception of this dimension of creation, the Holy One, blessed be He, is coined by the masters of Panimiyat HaTorah, inner dimensions of the Torah, as a Chochim, v'lo Chochim Yidua. Chochim Yidua. He is the wise one, source of a wisdom, who permitted a contraction to serve as a source of bounty, to become accessible to human beings. And as well, so too, masters of Panimiyat HaTorah, masters of the inner dimensions of Torah, coin an attribute of Creator as the understanding one, Hamevin, but not a type of understanding that we can understand, who nevertheless paradoxically permitted a contraction of divine understanding to be distilled to created beings, us, human beings. And these two types of bounty from Creator's divine wisdom, when revealed, are channeled towards and within the human being's soul. However, a preparation for this type of revelation towards and within human soul is accessible via one of the fundamental or foundational approaches towards serving Creator, namely Hahizbonenus, inner understanding, meditation, analytical reasoning, upon the prophetic teaching found in Psalms 148, verse 13, quote, for His name is alone, His glory is above earth and heaven. To learn more about Hahizbonenus, inner understanding, meditation, analytical reasoning, blessed souls, I would humbly suggest to you that we have an open group on Facebook called Torah Meditation Club, where you can access videos which explain on a very basic level what Hizbonos is according to the Torah perspective in a general and particular manner according to a particular work called Shar Yuchud, the Gate of Unification by a descendant of King David and Solomon, who the Mittler, known as the Mittler River of Dov Ber Shniori, as a direct descendant of King David and Solomon, who lived from 1773 until he went to the next level of life in 1827. And we wish to close on today's broadcast plucking out inspiration from a Hasidic Maimer discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe 37 years ago as of 20 days ago, so it's 37 years plus now, rooted in the verse from Shmos, Sefer Shmos, the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verse 4, as it reads, quote, I am going to bring down in a manner like rain for you from the sky. The people will go out and gather each day's portion on that day. This way I will test them as whether or not they will follow my teaching, end of quote. And this is in connection to the man, or as it knows English, in the English Anglo-Saxon Germanic terminology, the manna. What is this test alluding to, blessed souls? We humbly reason out, this bread of heaven, lecha min ha-shamayim, alludes to Torah, which is divine sustenance from a higher realm of creation, which descends upon this blessed earth. Now, who wants to receive his or her portion is a matter of Bechira Chafshis, of this Lecha Min HaShemayim, Torah, divine instruction. A portion of divine instruction as it relates to each one of our daily portions of sustenance, health, stability. And would we be surprised, blessed souls, if we neglect to receive our daily portion of divine instruction? That portion, alluding to opportunity, would then become wormy and putrid, just as those Israelites, as recorded in Scripture, in the book of Exodus, who, out of, I would say, spiritual foolishness and sickness, allowed the manna, or the manna, to not be picked or gleaned up from the ground for where it fell upon in the Sinai Peninsula. And it became wormy and putrid and incurred the anger of not only the mighty Levite prophet Moses, but also the Creator. We are basically experiencing something like that. Our opportunities become putrid and wormy if we don't reach out for divine instruction. So let us end in the positive that may we continually understand and internalize with an inner meditation flowing from the depths of our heart and to be shared with other blessed souls that we are in fact recipients today, every single day, man lechem, lechem min ha-shamayim. This man or mana is for you, a bread from heaven. And we can also allegorize it as well. Every breath you take is like the mana from heaven. Do we want to feel well with each breath of life we take in, or do we want to reject it and be labored in our inhalation of that which so freely flows in proximity to our nostrils and mouth to take it in? Hopefully we'll make the proper choice. In the meantime, blessed souls, may we merit to see and hear Torah Chadasha Mititetze, a new instruction from the Creator emanating out via the Aegis, the Kli, of Mashiach Tzikeno, the righteous leader, king, Rav, prophet of Israel. And may we merit to be sustained like the Israelites were, whether we be Israelites or the blessed children of Noah, to be sustained like the Israelites were for 40 years in the desert from the Torah of the Mashiach, the Messiah, to stabilize the planet, to make it a place which is settled and not of emptiness. And may this occur speedily in our days in a way of a havachad, one love, gorlechad, one destiny, kolonah for all us, bedarchi shalom, in a peaceful way, bedarchi nom, and a pleasant way. And we want to end off now, of course, as we usually do, with our flagship concluding song of Every Day by David Dohm. I just want to bring up There's one little nakuta, there's one little point, blessed souls. In fact, we had sponsorship for today's dedications. We want to mention that the opportunity still exists to dedicate and help us reach more people around the world on the internet, through the iPhones, through any means, the iTunes, even if there was a PiPhone, any which way. But we're asking people if they to contact us, which you can contact me, Don Zuzio Goodman, your cyberspace Torah activist, by calling 347-469-9702 to make a contribution of Chai Dollar, that's $18, which we can then, in exchange for that, provide a service for you to wish publicly blessings for you and your family, for a birth of a new child, for a bris milah, for a pinyin of ben, for a marriage, for a bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, for the children of Noah. If you have a wedding come up or a graduation for one of your blessed children, or for yourself, or you have an engagement party, or wishing a healthy recovery and going from strength to strength, mechayel ocholah, one of your loved ones, again, you can reach me and we can talk about it, as we got sponsorship today for what I meant for the people I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Oh, and I forget, let me just mention one more if I didn't mention. Yeah, I did mention Akiva Nissim Ben Odaya. Since I've seen this child, it's a beautiful child, and may he go mechayel ocholah. So please, also you can send me an email at dongoodman6@gmail.com, and as well you can contact me through Facebook, where my Facebook participation is identified through my name, Don Zusya Goodman, D-O-N-Z-U-S-Y-A Goodman, G-O-O-D-M-A-N. Now this is David Dome, who will take us back home to remind us every day is a mirror. So don't shy away from looking into that day, which is the mirror of your life, and see, you're not too much different from what you see around you. So what if you're seeing around you is not so positive? Maybe it's time to upgrade in the positivity, and what you're saying is positive, go ahead. Make yourself even a greater day, and see that your day can be much more positive, even though it's off to a great start already. Take care, everyone. L'hamshich bezer Hashem yisbrek, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High.
What's your